Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well this morning. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed, and I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Beloved, let us love one another. Lovers of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Lovers of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. The lovers of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, God is love. So beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Get all excited to tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited to tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still. But Jesus Christ is still, Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. And be bold, and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And be bold, and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid.
Come away.
I am them not to speak.
Don't wait,
cause I'm walking in faith and victory. We're gonna walk in faith and victory for the Lord. Thy God is with thee. Be bold and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid.
Don't wait.
I am not dismayed.
Don't wait.
Cause I'm walking in faith and victory. We're gonna walk in faith and victory for the Lord. Thy God is with thee. Be bold and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold and be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. I am not afraid.
No way.
I am not dismayed.
No way.
Cause I'm walking in faith and victory. We're gonna walk in faith and victory for the Lord. Thy God is with thee.
Good morning, everybody. Well, it's been a very interesting week, but this week I'm not going to talk about politics. I started reading this book called The Pilgrim's Progress. I started reading it this week. I've never read it before. And there's some things in it that just really moved me, so I'd like to share some of it. It's John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress, and the story is about a man who becomes a believer and goes on a journey to get rid of, to put everything off and focus wholly on Jesus Christ. I'm not even halfway through the book yet, okay? So I'm just going to read pieces out of it. But as he's going along this journey, he meets certain people. One of them, the first one, is evangelist. So, what shall I do to be saved? He saw evangelist, and evangelist said to him, why dost thou cry? He answered, sir, I perceive by the book in my hand that I am condemned to die, and after that to come to judgment. And I find that I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second. Then said evangelist, why not willing to die, since this life is attended with so many evils? The man answered, because I fear that this burden that is upon my back will sink me lower than the grave. And, sir, if I be not fit to go to prison, I am not fit, I am sure, to go to judgment, and from thence to execution. And the thoughts of these things make me cry. Then said evangelist, if this be thy condition, why standest thou still? He answered, because I know not whither to go. Then he gave him a parchment roll, and there was written within, fly from the wrath. So he goes on this journey. He leaves his family behind. His family are calling after him to bring him back, and he puts his fingers in his ears and keeps going towards the mark. He comes across this person called Obstinate. Where are the things you seek, since you leave all the world to find them? Asks Obstinate. A Christian says, I seek an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And it is laid up in heaven, and fast there, to be bestowed at the time appointed on them that diligently seek him, seek it. When he met Obstinate, he also met Pliable. So they try and talk him around into things and into a different path, and they walk with him a while. They end up getting him into a slough of despond. Christian was left to tumble in the slough of despond alone, because they left him. But still he endeavored to struggle to that side of the slough that was still further from his own house. He still fixed his eyes on the mark and kept moving towards it. There came a man called Help. Sir, wherefore, since over this place is the way from the city of destruction to yonder gate, is it that this plat is not mended, that poor travellers might go thither with more security? And he said unto me, this miry slough is such a place as cannot be mended. It is the descent whither the scum and filth that attends conviction for sin doth continually run, and therefore is it called the slough of despond. For still, as the sinner is awakened about his lost condition, there ariseth in his soul many fears and doubts and discouraging apprehensions, which all of them get together and settle in this place. And this is the reason of the badness of this ground. It is not the pleasure of the king that this place should remain so bad. His laborers also have, by the direction of his majesty's surveyors, been for above this 1600 years employed about this patch of ground, if perhaps it might have been mended. Yea, and to my knowledge, saith he, here hath been swallowed up at least 20,000 cartloads, yea, millions of wholesome instructions that have at all seasons been brought from all places of the king's dominions, and they that can tell say they are the best materials to make good ground of this place. If so be, it might have been mended, but it is the slough of despond still, and so will be when they have done what they can. He gets out of the slough of despond. Now, as Christian was walking solitary by himself, he espied one afar off come crossing over the field to meet him. The gentleman's name was Mr. Worldly Wiseman. He dwelt in the town of Carnal Policy, a very great town, and also hard by from whence Christian came. This man then meeting with Christian and having some inkling of him, for Christian's setting forth from the city of destruction was much noised abroad, not only in the town where he dwelt, but also it began to be the town talk in some other places. Master Worldly Wiseman, therefore, having some guess of him, by beholding his laborious going, by observing his sighs and groans and the like, began thus to enter into some talk with Christian. He then goes on to try and get him to think that he knows something and that he is wise in his own understanding. Wilt thou hearken to me if I give thee counsel? Christian says, if it be good, I will, for I stand in need of good counsel. Worldly Wiseman says, I would advise thee then that thou with all speed get thyself rid of thy burden. Christian says, that is that which I seek for, even to be rid of this heavy burden. But get it off myself I cannot, nor is there a man in our country that can take it off my shoulders. Therefore am I going this way as I told you, that I may be rid of my burden. Again, someone tries to maneuver his path. Eventually he says, I care not what I meet with in the way, so be I can also meet with deliverance from my burden. And now he began to be sorry that he had taken Mr. Worldly Wiseman's counsel, and with that he saw Evangelist coming to meet him, at the sight also of whom he began to blush for shame. So Evangelist drew nearer and nearer, and coming up to him he looked upon him with a severe and dreadful countenance, and thus began to reason with Christian. Evangelist says, what doest thou here? Said he, at which word Christian knew not what to answer, wherefore at present he stood speechless before him. Then said Evangelist Father, art not thou the man that I found crying without the walls of the city of destruction? Yes, dear sir, I am the man. Did not I direct thee the way to the little wicket gate? Yes, dear sir, said Christian. How is it then that thou art so quickly turned aside? For thou art now out of the way. I met with a gentleman so soon as I had got over the slough of despond, who persuaded me that I might in the village before me find a man that could take off my burden. What was he? He looked like a gentleman, and talked much to me, and got me at last to yield. So I came hither. So I believed him and turned out of that way into this, if haply I might be soon eased of my burden. But when I came to this place and beheld things as they are, I stopped for fear, as I said, of danger, that I now know not what to do. Evangelist said, stand still a little, that I may show thee the words of God. So he stood trembling. Then said Evangelist, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. He said moreover, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. He also did thus apply them. Thou art the man that art running into this misery. Thou hast began to reject the counsel of the Most High, and to draw back thy foot from the way of peace, even almost to the hazarding of thy perdition. Then Christian fell down at his foot as dead, crying, woe is me, for I am undone. At the sight of which Evangelist caught him by the right hand, saying, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Be not faithless, but believing. It goes on. There's a lot more to the story. But I was moved through many parts of that book because it shows our path. It shows how easily we can step off the path, how easily we can be manipulated, how easily we can within our own selves deceive ourselves and be manipulated to think we know a thing or are going on a right path or are doing something right. It is of vital importance that we keep our eyes on him and on the mark and doing that which he has called us to do and seeking the counsel of those in authority over us, not the worldly wise, not seeking worldly counsel, but seeking that of the Lord. I guess I am going to talk about politics. After this election, the one thing that keeps coming back to me is to pray for the future president to have the counsel of godly men, of men who love God and who aspire to have God as the forefront of this country. It is important for us to continue to pray for him. Praying for him to win was one thing. Praying for him to continue in that, to keep the promises that he has made, to live up to the expectations of those who have voted for him, to keep his word, to receive good godly counsel and to receive it and put it into action and to live it in spite of himself and what he may think or want. That is our responsibility as Christians in this country now. The job's not done. Voting for him was the first step. Continuing to pray for him, continuing to lift up our authorities, our elders, those in government, those who rule, that is a daily thing we need to remember because his job's not over. It's not like he can sit back and take it easy now. No, now is the push where people are going to really attack him to give up on the ideals that he had fought for, that he stood for, that we all voted him in for. Now is the time for us to be on our knees daily with our hands lifted high, recognizing we can't do it. He can't do it without Jesus Christ as his guide. And that is our need too, to recognize daily we cannot do it without Jesus. We cannot succeed. It may look like you can, but you cannot succeed without Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everybody. So we saw a miracle this week. In case anybody was wondering, if you weren't quite sure, we saw a miracle. I've been digesting a lot of what's been going on over the last week. And I'm in awe. I'm in awe at the opportunity that the Lord has presented his people. Tuesday, we were in the office, and the gentleman that works for me named Aaron, some of you all know him, we asked him if he was going to vote. And he said, no, my vote doesn't matter. Well, you all know Sue is a U.S. citizen now, and she fought hard to become that. And one of the benefits of citizenship is you can vote. And that was precious to her, and she got quite upset at the attitude. And it was the topic of some heated conversations amongst the office that day. Because the apathy is a good one. The sorriness, the laziness, the perspective that he was demonstrating, and it was, frankly, it became offensive. And I guess it became offensive to me so much because I can see the same attitude spiritually in myself. And so it lit a fire under me in this regard. You know, the attitude that one vote doesn't matter or my vote doesn't matter, you know, in the natural, you could almost make an argument to that. Although, as we were watching the election, there was a point in New Hampshire where the margin between the two candidates was 15 votes. 15. Pretty big deal. Can you imagine 15 votes deciding an election? You know, that's basically a small church voting as one mind could decide the election. But it got me to thinking on a bigger scale, because if you had asked me in the beginning of Tuesday if Donald Trump had a snowball's chance in a warm place to become president, I would have said, no way. That's where my faith was. That's where I was at. I'll just be honest with you. That's where I was at. Now, I hoped. I prayed for a miracle. I beseeched God for a miracle. But realistically, quote unquote, I just was sort of despondent and in despair myself. But I went and I cast my vote, and I posted a video, took time out of my day to post a video encouraging other people to vote, not who to vote for, just to go do it, because it had so upset me, you know, this attitude. It's amazing the response I got out of that. It was pretty cool. Anyway, moving on. The reality that really hit me was the same attitude of my vote doesn't count. I wonder if I believe that about my prayers. You see, what you see in the natural is a reflection of what exists in the spiritual. Do you know that your prayer does matter? That my prayer to God does matter? You see, the enemy, in this case, the political side of things, the enemy of Donald Trump's campaign really, really wanted those people in his camp to believe that their vote doesn't matter. I mean, really, really wanted them to just have absolutely no will. And when you think that no matter what you do, it's not going to have any impact, that is what happens. You just get despondent and you sort of give up before you've even engaged. But you know, it's not true. See, one man can make a difference. One prayer can make a difference. And all you need to do is look back through the Word of God and see it. You see Elijah. Is God somehow now different today? No. Is he somehow less powerful today? No. One person can make a difference. One prayer can make a difference. Now, if that's the case, imagine 2, 10, 20 people of faith joining together and praying as in one mind, in one voice. Brother Phil was talking this morning about Corinthians, and he mentioned the part about, I charge you guys to be of one mind, of one. You speak the same thing, mind the same thing, have the same judgment. Can you imagine if everyone that claimed to be a believer in Jesus, we all had the same mind, believed the same thing, spoke the same thing, and had the same judgment? Back in South Carolina, we took a concealed weapons class, and one of the statistics the guy was sharing with us about the number of people that carried concealed weapons, and there's just an interesting factoid. He said that if everyone in the state of South Carolina that had a valid concealed carry permit voted the same way, they would control every election. The one piece of information that came out that I only heard it one time, and it was very quickly covered, is swept under the rug because they were going through all the people that voted and how this thing happened and how the left got it so unbelievably wrong. And they're going on, you know, in a very derogatory tone that white uneducated males were, you know, coming out in droves. And I really found it humorous, their use of the term uneducated continuously, and as if, you know, going to college, that's it. Boy, if you don't do that, you're just a dumb neophyte. But that was it was interesting that they were going through all these demographics. One of the demographics they mentioned that really got my attention, and as I said, they only said it one time, they said that more so than any other election in history, evangelical Christians came out and voted. Now you see, the church in America has been held hostage. And I've never been in a hostage situation, so I don't claim to think that I'd be some hero. I'd probably be a big wimp in the back of the line, I'm sure. But when you've got millions of people and you got one guy with a gun, how does that work that the millions of people are held captive? It works because of fear. You see, the church has given in to fear so thoroughly and so completely that what does Jesus say? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. Speaking of salt, salt's lost its savor. The big miracle that I see, yes, we have a new president, one that I am still somewhat very excited about. I mean, I just am. But the political environment is like, so what? It's going to be here today, gone tomorrow. What excites me is the possibility for Christians. I wonder what would happen if the special interest had the same fear put on them, a fear of God, that they have been pushing on Christians for the last decades. See, I wonder if Christians stopped being quiet and stopped being afraid, and who cares about politics, but started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what really matters. That's really the message. The message isn't political this or political agenda that. It's not right. It's not left. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of that effort on the left, the reason there's that effort, the reason there's that push, it's not about who's in the White House. It's about destroying the gospel of Jesus Christ. So imagine if Christians would see the miracle that God did in a natural sense, and allow that to translate to them in the miracle God can do in a spiritual sense. Jesus says that if you pray believing, you can say to this mountain, cast off, being cast in the sea, and it'll happen. Okay? That's the truth of God's word. Prayer works. There's a scripture, and it's escaping me the exact wording, but it's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth what? Much. You have a need, you bring it to God. You see something going on that you need wisdom with, that needs to be fixed, that needs to be adjusted, what? You bring it to God. We all, and it starts not in the big things, it starts in the absolute little things. And what it is, it actually is a subjection of ourself to the will of God when we go to Him and seek help. And then we listen and we obey. See, if we do that, then we subject ourselves to the will of God, we fall in line with the will of God, and then the more believers that follow that, that do that, then we do start to have one mind. We do start to have one voice. We do speak the same thing, mind the same thing, and we do have the same judgment. And it doesn't matter if you're part of the quote-unquote same church or same denomination. If you believe in Jesus, or believe on Jesus, I'm going to use the right word, and you subject himself to his will, and you put off your mind, one of the things, I forgot who said it, Phil, I think it was, said you can't put on the mind of Christ till you put off your own. That was really profound, by the way, if you guys missed it. You can't put on the mind of Christ until you've put off yours. But if Christians would do that, then denominations go away. Because it just is about Jesus and the gospel. Jesus and the gospel. His word being preached. See, I watched this thing in the natural unfold, and it gave me a shot of hope for the miracle God can do in the spirit. And I should have seen it. I should have already known that in my heart and believed it with full conviction. Thank you, Sue. The word was getting away from me. I should have had that burning conviction and full expectation. But I just didn't. Steve and I were talking today in Ephesians, and it was a scripture that had been coming to mind as to me already. It says, when you've done all to stand, do what? Stand, therefore. And here we are at a starting of an opportunity. You see, the big danger at this point is we won the war. No, guys, you just won this teeny little tiny fraction of a battle. And again, it's not about the politics. It's about the gospel. The church has allowed itself to be declawed and defanged and thrown in a corner to die. You know, there was a guy in the Bible that made some interesting choices, and he allowed himself to be declawed and defanged. His name was Samson. And despite all things that pointed to, don't tell this woman about your hair, he did. He got his hair cut, and he was put as a slave to those that God had called him to deliver Israel from. They put out his eyes, and they made him grind corn like a beast. But his hair grew back. It started to grow back. And in their pride and in their arrogance and in their haughtiness, they put him up as a spectacle at their grand feast. And he stood there between those two pillars, and he prayed. He said, Lord, give me the strength just one more time. And God heard his prayer, and he brought down the roof and killed more in his death than he did in his life. Now, I know the church is not destined to die, and that's not my point. The point is that the pride and arrogance and haughtiness of those that would come against the gospel, let's make them pay. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to come against that, not naturally, but in a spiritual sense. Let's not allow fear and control and intimidation derail the opportunity that God has, that God's presented to us on a silver platter. And I'm in no way advocating to go out and do anything in the natural or cause any problems in the physical and riot. That's all nonsense. That all doesn't matter. And all that does is it tends to pride. And that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is get in your closet. When things come up, pray. Lift it to the Lord. Be aggressive in your prayer life and become that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man person, because it availeth much. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope and I pray. And I remember my prayer with Sue that day is that, Lord, for the sake of the remnant that do believe in you, Lord, please work a miracle. And that was my prayer. And guess what? He worked a miracle. And I wonder how many other people were praying that same prayer. And we saw a miracle. You know, how do you get a job done? One step at a time. So now we go to the next step. We pray. We lift it up to the Lord. And we don't give in to the intimidation. We don't give in to the fear. We don't give in to those things that would want to pull us down, destroy us, get us off the track. No, we will fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and his word and his gospel, and that is what we will preach. I hope and pray that you guys will join in that cause and put off anything that would get in the way. That's basically all I got today. Let me go back to a song I sang last week. Because it's something we really need to remember.
salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me.
Okay, I got one more song for us this morning. And as we sing it, let it be a prayer. But realize the only way it's going to happen is if you do it. Hopefully you'll understand where you're going here.
Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. We wanna see Jesus lifted high. 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 Step by step we're moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down, down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. 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 Step by step we're moving forward, little by little taking ground. Every breath's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down, down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know is the way to heaven.
Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. One thing I want to clarify, I made the statement about make them pay. Let me put that into context. I'm not talking about vengeance in any way. What I'm talking about is really don't let them get away with it. Don't let them intimidate you anymore. Don't let them control you anymore through fear. Do not allow yourself to be manipulated by the enemy to move off the path of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really what I mean by that. Just get this indignant, righteous indignation, if that's the right word, that will keep you moving forward and not allow yourself to be intimidated any longer. So that's really what I mean by that. I just want to clarify. All right, guys, stay tuned here to the Eagle Radio Network. A little over an hour, we'll have the Texas service. Thank you guys for joining us today.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.